Welcome, I'm Richard Prosh, and this is another edition of Six Gun Justice Conversations. These are episodes where my co-host Paul Bishop or I get to hang out around the virtual Six Gun Justice campfire and spend some time talking with friends who work in the Western genre. With me for this edition is Five Star Publishing Senior Editor Tiffany Schofield. Senior Editor Tiffany Schofield joined Five Star Publishing in 1999. She currently manages the Five Star Publishing imprint, as well as several large print genre lists for Thorndike Press and Wheeler Publishing, all imprints of Cengage. With Tiffany's diligent efforts to rejuvenate and expand Five Star's Western genre imprint, Five Star Publishing has since been awarded the Western Writers of America Lariat Award in 2013, named Best Western History Book Publisher by True West Magazine in 2015, and have had many Western novels selected as award winners and finalists in various literary contests. Tiffany continues her search each year for epic traditional Western and historical frontier fiction stories by new and established voices in literature that are set in the pre-1920s American West. Five Star publishes 48 first-edition frontier fiction novels annually. Past releases include New York Times best-selling authors Howard Weinstein's Galloway's Gamble, 2017, and W. Michael Gere's Flight of the Hawk, The River, 2018. Thanks for reining in with us today, Tiffany.
My pleasure to be here with you today, Richard. Thank you for the invitation.
So we shared in your bio that your efforts rejuvenated and expanded Five Star's Western genre imprint. So is this something you set out to do from the beginning in 1999? Were Westerns on your radar then?
Actually, I would have to say they were not. Back in 1999, I was nothing more than just a young greenhorn stepping into a world that I had not yet discovered I would end up loving so much. I was a first-generation college student. I decided there was more to life. I wasn't satisfied. I was sending myself to college and decided to take a part-time job. And living rural, there's only so many of those that go around. And thankfully, that part-time job was with the company named Thorndike Press. So I guess you could say the rest is history. I was fortunate enough when I started working for Thorndike Press in 1999 to have been introduced to both the large print side of their business as well as their five-star imprint. In that year, of course, they had launched that imprint in 1995, so it already had a fairly strong four-year gap in the library market, and they were doing pretty well. And at that time, looking at it with new eyes and young eyes and not knowing much about the publishing world, I just assumed I was going to be there for a short time, working as a temporary worker until I was done with college with my business degree. And lo and behold, I fell in love with the publishing world and its literature and its people. And so then later on, I went for my English literature degree instead because I realized that's where my true love was.
Were you a reader growing up?
Unfortunately, I was not. I would like to say yes, but I know if my mother's listening to this, she would definitely say, oh, no, no, you wait now. I think in school, I was not a very good reader, and maybe because I just hadn't found the reading that had inspired me. So now later on in life, my mother is very pleased now because I'm an avid reader. A dream come true for her, perhaps.
You know, it's so terrible sometimes when you look at, especially young kids in education, you know, teachers will foist books on them that are, you know, so dry or bland or uninteresting. And at a young age, you can turn a reader off. You can turn a young reader off of reading for a lifetime if you're not careful.
Yeah, I do feel that kind of happened to me in school. It just a lot of those classics, you know, for that time in my life and at that age, they just didn't speak to me.
Yeah, it happened to me too. I found my best times with books in the library because I could read what I wanted to read, right? I could find books that I wanted, not what they made me read.
Absolutely. And that's a fantastic point because libraries are the lifeblood of every community. And I think perhaps growing up in such a rural area where many of our families did not have access to a wonderful, you know, community library like so many of them are available now to communities, it makes such a huge impact on each and every community. And most of them also have outreach services to the smaller outlying communities. to make sure that they can get those wonderful, you know, novels and movies and all of the other great things they have at their library out to those smaller rural areas that don't have their own library.
That's a really good point. You know, I have seen five-star books, five-star Westerns on our local bookmobile. We have in our community, we have a bookmobile that comes out of Jefferson City and goes out into the rural Missouri area. And, you know, it'll park, and this is pre-COVID, of course, but it would park, you know, at a gas station or something 3 miles out of town or 5 miles out of town. And then you would go visit the bookmobile.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's fantastic. And to this day, those are still, you know, very popular. Granted, as you said, the pandemic has definitely been a game changer in many aspects of life and business. But, you know, even though I wasn't an avid reader as a young person, I can tell you the most exciting thing at school for me was always when the book fair came to school. So, you know, there's that. So I guess it was inside of me. I just hadn't found the right stories that really inspired me to want to read more.
So now you work in the Western genre. What makes a great Western book for you as a reader or as an editor or both?
Well, there are some things that definitely cross over into both of those realms. I will start naturally from the editor's point of view. And oftentimes, what makes a great Western book is not only the story, but its professional presentation. From an editorial point of view, there's a lot of competition out there, and you know, the best way to get your story read and recognized and out to the reading public is to put your best foot forward with a polished professional project. And there's many ways to do that now for writers with writing groups and other venues that can offer editorial services to give your project that best chance. There's a lot of, you know, in our world today, there's a lot of white noise with so many books being published and submitted and reviewed, that making it the best possible product that you can before submitting is a wonderful thing. Now, the things that blend over from the editorial point of view as well as a reader's point of view, a great Western, it's really about that sense of place. Western is truly not just a location. It's essentially a place in your mind. It can exist anywhere, which of course is why the Western genre still remains very popular in countries like Germany and other areas, because it is iconically that, you know, rugged place in America or any other place where people are against all odds and they still push through and hope for a better tomorrow, no matter how bad the odds are. So it can really be, as far as a reader's point of view, it can be any kind of a story in any subgenre of Western, whether it's traditional Western or, you know, like a lawman cowboy Western, Western mysteries. There's so many variations now, which I think is truly exciting for the Western literature market, that there is such diversity with those stories, but they all have the great core values of the wide open spaces or the mountainous regions, these areas that are, you know, really truly difficult to survive in. But everyone that has that sense of urgency and survival, they will continue to push forward and find a better way each new day. And from a reader's point of view, it also has to be that story that every page propels you forward. You know, not enough dialogue will slow the story down. So really, readers are looking for stories that have that character dialogue and character development.
Yeah, you know, Paul and I have talked on the podcast about, in the Western, the landscape or the things that you were just talking about, the environmental hazards or the thing that the protagonists are up against becomes a character in itself. You know, often the West, in a Western, the West is a character. You know, it's so integral that you think, well, this couldn't happen anywhere else. You know, this story just couldn't happen if it were, you know, stuck in the middle of Los Angeles or something.
That brings up a great point, because there is always kind of that question, whether it's a reader's perception, say a bookstore or library buyer's perception, and a publisher's perception. You know, you're looking at this from many points of view of what truly makes a Western. And I think, of course, everything changes over time. So I really believe, you know, over my past 20 years of being at the forefront and watching all of these wonderful changes that have happened in the Western literature world, there's just so much potential and possibility for the Western genre to morph into so many other things. And it's exciting to see all of those changes, but it's also that question, you know, the dime store novel per se that kind of launched the Western genre into pop culture. It really has changed over time. And there's always that pinnacle question of, okay, what makes a Western? Is it the location? Does it have to be west of the Mississippi? Is it a certain time frame? And I think with every decade, that's always going to kind of be in question. But I think it's also in question because it gives it that chance to evolve.
Yeah.
And I think now we're in a place where even contemporary stories, you know, thanks to Craig Johnson's Longmire and so many other great TV series, it has really brought, you know, watchers and readers back to the epitome of the Western genre. And it can be set now, even, you know, because we're in 2021, a lot of readers consider perhaps even 1920 and previous in that historical Western genre. So it's interesting to see the changes in time and location.
So going from a contemporary look at what makes a Western to kind of a fun question just about the past, if you could work with or publish any of the 20th century great Western authors, you know, like Louis L'Amour or Elmer Kelton or somebody, who would it be and why? Who would you just love to work with if you could transcend time and space?
Oh, goodness. That is a very difficult question because I would want to say all of them, you know, from an editor's point of view, what a treat it would be to work with so many of them. But here's a fun little backstory. And if I had to narrow it down to one, I would probably say Elmer Kelton. And this is why. My very first foray into publishing when I started with Thorndike Press back in 1999, in the first couple of years, just getting to know the process and the publishing world. And at the time, Hazel Rumney was at the helm of the Five Star imprint. And Thorndike Press and Five Star Imprint together, their cousin imprints housed in the same office, and they decided to host their first annual Five Star Authors Day event. So, of course, I'm, you know, there working as a temporary part-time worker, and I'm helping with the legwork and the tables and the setting up and just having fun in the moment. And I remember, and I will never forget the excitement and the passion in Hazel's voice after they sent out all of the invitations to all of the authors that they had worked with in the five-star imprint, as well as on the large print side. And of course, being a small publishing imprint located in a very rural part of Maine at the time, there was no budget to pay for everybody to come and, you know, with the meet and greet. And the day that Hazel Rumney received her response from Elmer Kelton, it was fantastic. The passion and her excitement. And I remember her literally excitedly bouncing around the office that she just couldn't believe that Elmer Kelton said that he would be coming to Maine to come visit us at our first Author Day event. And she kept saying, you know, you have no idea. She told everybody in the office, you don't understand. Like, he is royalty in the Western world. Like, you have no idea. And I think her passion on that was definitely one of the first moments I remember being so inspired and realizing that there was something there, you know, more that I wanted to latch onto as well. And to meet him that summer in person, at the time, I did not know the gravity of that like I feel it now. And yeah. I feel so fortunate to have met him in person and to have since learned more about him through the wonderful stories that I've heard from other writers in the Western community through Western Writers of America and other organizations. Just a wonderful, wonderful human being he was. And a talented writer beyond belief and so supportive of other writers. You know, all the time that he took out of his own writing to support and pay forward to the other writers, it truly was inspiring. And so where I am today compared to where I was back then, I would have loved to have a chance to work with him one-on-one, like Hazel did, you know, because I feel her excitement, like, yes, he's like Western royalty. And he truly was. He was an amazing person.
At Five Star, you've continued to work successfully with Hazel on your four award-winning collections of short stories. Just as a reader, I've always kind of wondered, how do you and Hazel work together on those projects? Can you share a little bit the kind of behind the scenes, how the two of you work on those projects together? Because they're wonderful books.
Oh, thank you. This is actually a really fun question, and I enjoy telling this story. So it turned out that after many years of Hazel running the Five Star imprint originally, and then as time moved on and I took over the Five Star imprint, she was working more on the large print side of the business, and she got to the point where she finally was ready to retire. And it hadn't been even 12 months, not even a full year. Like, she was so excited to retire, and her family did a cross-country trip to enjoy all that America had to offer and to see the wonderful Western landscapes that, you know, she had worked with so many authors and edited so many stories about. And that was about the time, shortly into her retirement, was about the time that we had the opportunity with the Five Star imprint to really reshape it and revamp it into something that I just knew that it could be, something bigger, something more than traditional Westerns. After going to my first writers conference, Western Writers of America conference, to see the wealth of stories that were available just waiting to be published by such talented writers, but they might not necessarily fit in that, you know, neatly packaged traditional Western genre formula, but they're still Westerns. They're historical Westerns. They were fantastic. So I said to our publisher, I said, oh, okay, this is my dream. This is what I want to do. And thankfully, she gave me full reins. Maybe she regrets it now. I don't know. Because I took those reins and I wrote and said, okay, I want to expand the list. I want to do more projects. I want to create this genre called frontier fiction, because there's so many great stories. They just don't fit into that traditional Western realm. So they allowed me to, and I said, oh, and here's the other thing. I want to call Hazel to see if she would be interested in doing some of the editing on projects. And they said, oh, no, no, she just retired. She's so happy to be retired. She's not going to want to do that. I said, well, you allow me to call her and we will see how it goes. And lo and behold, I called and had a wonderful chat with Hazel. And yes, her retirement was going well. But yes, I called her and said, so how's that retirement going? Because boy, do I have an idea to share with you. And much to my surprise and my delight, she wholeheartedly accepted the opportunity to work on more projects on the editing side, the developmental editing side. And she only had a few stipulations. One of them was, do I ever have to come back into the office? And I said, no, you can work from home. You do it all from home. Okay. She said, so I can do this from home and all is good. I said, okay, that's great. If that's all it takes. And she loves the genre. She has a deep passion for the Western genre. And of course, it started early in her childhood as well. So to be able to bring her back to the imprint that she initially helped launch in 1995 was such a joy for me, because she's a joy to work with anyway. But to be able to bring her back into these projects, to work with these writers, and a few years later, taking her to the writers' conference so that she could meet them in person, it's just been a wonderful ride. And so I kind of work on the forefront, you know, in that office setting, so she doesn't have to, and bring those projects in. She looks through them, you know, she evaluates the stories, and then we discuss stories and themes and ideas of how to kind of package on these anthologies, how we can package different stories together. And it's truly a lot of fun. It's a dynamic relationship with her, that she brings the passion and the talent and the keen eye for what makes a great Western, because she's been at the helm for so long in that genre. So I definitely am fortunate to have somebody like her on behalf of Five Star and helping us, you know, continue to create these award-winning titles.
That's just terrific. You know, it's such a pleasure to work with somebody who has that passion and excitement about the project. And I know she does. I'm curious, Five Star furnishes libraries all over the country with Westerns. How do libraries go about finding your books? How does that work? Could our listeners, for instance, if they see something on the Facebook page that strikes their fancy, could they go to their library and say, hey, you know, please order this, you know, this latest book by Matthew Mayo? Or
yes, that is a great question. Thanks for bringing that up. That is definitely everything you said. That is all true. And that is a great way to continue to support the writers of these great stories that readers enjoy. Definitely, you can go into your libraries and say, hey, I, you know, read this novel by Matthew Mayo or Michael Zimmer or, you know, all of these other great Western writers. And what else might they have? The libraries can then check the Library of Congress database to find all of the projects that are out there. And then if it's a forthcoming title, readers can definitely go into their libraries and say, hey, I really want, you know, anything new that's coming by this author. And libraries are fantastically supportive to all of their patrons. And they typically will be able to, even if they don't do the buying, many libraries now will report back to a major branch. You know, if they're a branch, they report back to their head library and they will do all the ordering for the branches. Another way to find the novels would be online if you want to purchase your own copy. But many readers, I think in today's age where many readers are kind of downsizing and, you know, smaller homes and easier to care for places, you know, supporting your local library is worth its weight in gold because they can house all of that. So your house doesn't have to look like mine with far too many shelves that my husband just shakes his head at me when I bring more books home. But libraries are a treasure trove of collections and, you know, they work diligently to serve their communities and they're fantastically supportive of local writers. So anytime there are Western writers that may be, you know, in a reader's state or region, they're fantastic. They typically will already have the books there before the reader can go in and request them. But as far as, you know, my tenure with Five Star, I've definitely seen that passion for librarians for having these really great collections in their libraries for all genres, but especially for the Western genre, since it is so uniquely American. And it's just wonderful to support them because they do so much to support all of the writers that are working hard to bring these great stories to the reading public.
Yeah, and the great thing, I know locally at our library, when I go in and I find five-star books in particular, you know, I'll find a nice hardcover edition, and the library here will often put the little plastic slip jacket on it or something like that to protect it. And, you know, to find a nice hardcover book to read is, for me anyway, is a refreshing break from just the normal paperbacks that I can also find at the library. But usually those are a little bit beat up or something, you know. So the five-star books that I found at our library are always the hardcover versions. And that's fun. I think that's
really yeah, fun. Yeah. We've since Five Star launched in 1995, they have always published in hardcover because it does stand up to the rigorous circulation that they get at the library, which makes them great because they can, you know, the stories are timeless and classic, if you will. So they have a very long shelf life in libraries. So having that durable hardcover format is just a win-win format for the librarians that like to keep them on the shelves as long as possible.
So in 20 years with Five Star, has the demand for Westerns gone up or gone down? Or, you know, is it cyclical? Has it remained constant? And what's it like?
Great question. I would have to say that I think, and even watching genres on the large print side of our business, as well as on the five-star side, I do think that there's a large portion of all the genres being cyclical in popularity. But I would have to say that the Western genre has been so classically popular over the 20 years that I've been watching that they still typically fall only second to the mystery thriller genre, which to me, that is an amazing testament because a lot of, especially in today's age, if there are younger readers that may not be familiar with the Western genre yet, they are. They just don't realize it. You know, they're watching these great movies because the movies, the screen will bring these books, you know, the stories to life in such a great way to reach new audiences. And then they realize, oh yeah, I guess I do like Westerns because I love this movie that I watched. So I think some of it is perception. But I really would have to say that specifically in the five-star realm, it has remained pretty constant. Originally with our traditional Westerns, and then when we were able to revamp the five-star imprint and add the Frontier Fiction Standing Order Plan, we found that it was just equally as popular, and sometimes even more so, because the stories from today's writers, and don't get me wrong, I love all of the traditional Westerns, and when our list was filled with those, they were great. But I think readers and, you know, everybody, they were just kind of yearning for a fresh take on these stories of the American West. You know, there's so many great stories that perhaps may have only been told from one perspective. And so now in today's market, there's so many talented writers that are also fantastic and very detailed historians that can turn those stories into something brand new from different points of view that haven't been experienced yet. And I think that's what continues to breathe life into the Western genre. And yeah, that can be Western fiction, Western nonfiction. There's just a wealth out there of wonderful contemporary and historical Western literature.
Absolutely. It always surprises me because you kind of think, oh, I've probably seen it all, and you haven't. It's just,
right.
It's new.
Right.
So.
It's exciting. I think that's what continues to breathe that excitement into the genre.
It is. And on that note, can you share with us what might be coming up next from Five Star?
Oh, well, I know our time is limited. Otherwise, I would love to go through all of the great projects. I know, perhaps I am very partial. However, we have some great projects coming up. We have some more anthologies. We're going to be doing some collections of frontier crime, because really that genre of crime, whether it's historical or contemporary, is really popular still. So we thought, why not do a fun frontier crime collection? We also have a collection that we'll be releasing very soon, and that is titled Fire Mountain and Other Survival Stories. It's going to be a five-star quartet, and it features four award-winning authors. It's Michael Zimmer, Johnny Boggs, Matthew Mayo, and Larry Swayze. And these stories are just epically awesome. Of course, again, I know I'm partial, but for anybody that enjoys, you know, a good survival story, this will be a great collection to read. And the other thing quick about collections that we've realized are, you know, these short stories and anthologies are very popular again in the reading market, more specifically so for our market in Five Star, as well as large print, because these short stories are wonderfully used for outreach services in the libraries, for even out to nursing homes, assisted living centers, you know, bookmobiles. So for readers that might not have a lot of time to dedicate to a full novel, reading these short stories is a great way to introduce, you know, maybe a new reader to the Western genre, or readers that don't have, you know, maybe they just read a little bit at nighttime. These short stories are just a really great way to get that reading time in if you're on a limited time crunch. We also have coming more of the Three Rivers trilogy coming from Preston Lewis. That'll be coming in the summer in August. Oh, there's so many other great. There's Rod Miller we have coming up in our list, and some more by Matthew Mayo and Johnny Boggs, Brett Cogburn, Michael Zimmer. So many great. Like, I just wish I could go through my whole list I am so excited about our upcoming year. You know, having the pandemic hit and the five-star imprint was kind of forced into taking a six-month break. And, you know, I know that the entire world was really hit with the unexpected and where do we go from here kind of feeling. But now that we're beyond that, and I'm looking at all of these great projects that are coming in the pipeline, I am so excited. And I think our readers will be too, you know, and I know the libraries are. The libraries are opening back up again. Even the ones that aren't fully open, they have developed wonderful curbside pickup. You know, they've been working diligently to just do everything they can to support their communities with literature and reading fun.
It really gives all of us a kind of a new perspective, doesn't it? They say you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And a lot of us have realized that over the last year or so. So I'm really excited too. And I'm excited by some of those titles you just mentioned. So I'd like to wrap up by thanking you for being here today and wish you the best with everything that that comes up in the coming year.
Really enjoyed talking about all things Western and books and libraries. And just as a reminder for anybody that is interested in learning more about Five Star Publishing, you can find us on Facebook if you search for Five Star Cengage. You can also find us on Twitter if you also search at Five Star Cengage. Thank you so much for having me on today.
And thanks to you for listening. Paul and I appreciate your support of our Six Gun Justice podcast and hope you continue to enjoy each and every episode. As always, a hearty thank you to our sponsors, Wolfpack Publishing, author Chris Enns, and the Western Writers of America for making this podcast possible. Be sure to check our website, www.sixgunjustice.com, for links to previous podcast episodes, speed listens, and prior conversations, along with reviews, interviews, and articles from the Western genre. Till next time, keep the sun at your back and a good horse at hand. Let's ride.